Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Nicole Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Nicole with the message.
What in the world just happened right here? I had no... John? I'm just not over it. He came out, I was like, it's Darius Rucker. That just happened, Faith Church. That just happened. Now, to figure out what kind of congregation we are here at Faith Church, all campuses, how many of you could have stood up and done the boot scoot and boogie? Y'all need to get saved. You know, this weekend is the Family Fall Bash. So, yeah. So if your kiddos are not next door, you want to get them to the kids ministry. We have games. We have apple cider. We have giveaways. We have free candy. Y'all, it's like going to Walmart and you don't have to pay at the end. We're going to wear your kids out, send them home. They're going to take a nap today. You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I'm Pastor Nicole, and I'm here this weekend. Pastor David heard me do a teaching at our staff meeting. I do some corporate teaching. I speak at offices. I do some masterminds. And I bring a lot of that in, and I share that with our staff. And Pastor David heard it, and he said, I need you to share that with all the Faith Church. Is that okay? So this is a little more of a teaching, a little less of a preaching. If you are a note taker, if you have a business, if you are an entrepreneur, or if you're in the corporate world, if you have a job, if you lead in your family, if you're a dream team director, if you lead at your church, if you lead in your neighborhood, get out a pencil and paper. I want to help you. The title of my message is How to Shrink Your Vision to Make Your Success Bigger. How to Shrink Your Vision to Make Your Success Bigger. And I'm going to actually... change the title just a little bit for church this weekend. Is that okay, Faith Church? It's how to shrink your vision to make your harvest bigger. And I'm pulling this out of John 4. And in John 4:35, that's the scripture I want to start with. It says, do not say there are still 4 months until harvest. Behold, I say to you, says Jesus, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. For they are white with harvest. So to actually get the context of this scripture, like when did Jesus start saying that? What were the disciples doing? Where were they? This, John 4, is where they were talking to the woman at the well. If y'all don't know my girl, the woman at the well, I've done enough research to actually find out her name. She's not some nameless, imaginary, made-up story woman. Her name is Fotini. Fotini was the woman at the well. That happened right before this. She was in Samaria. Samaria was, I don't know, the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans hating the Jews. They were at war all the time. The Samaritans actually at some point sacrificed Jewish children to their pagan gods. Like, they did not get along. So Jewish people did not talk to Samaritans. Jesus walked through Samaria, or there might be some area of your life that God wants to speak to you about today that you could be holding back from him. And he walked through Samaria to meet with a woman. Here's the crazy thing. Jewish men for sure didn't talk to Samaritan women because the culture of the day, Messianic law said, hey, if you don't like your wife, Jewish man, you can divorce her because she burnt your burrito, she woke up and didn't put her makeup on, she wore purple and you like red. You could literally divorce her for any reason. Y'all, that's before I got a hold of law books. Just saying. But if a Jewish woman got a law of divorcement, what that meant was, hey guys, she's not worth it. So when we read about this woman who was divorced 5 times, sometimes I hear it said, you heard about her, she was just around, she did all the things. When actually, for her to get married 5 times, something that historians say about her is Fotini was most likely gorgeous. That's why men would risk it on her. What are we talking about, Pian? We're talking about harvest. Can you hang with me? We're talking about vision. Can you hang with me? So she was most likely gorgeous. That's why guys would chance it on her. But she kept getting divorced. Why? Well, she must have not been a woman of character. Well, historians would say she was likely a woman of character because even with that divorcement once, twice, three times, another guy would say, I want to give it a try. So they say most likely she was a beautiful, infertile woman. And if you didn't give a man a legacy, you were a worthless dog. So she kept getting divorced for reasons she couldn't control. I'm talking about the vision for your life and the harvest you don't see coming. So she goes to the well during midday because nobody is at the well midday, but she does. She goes to the well midday, and when she goes there, she sees Jesus. And here's the crazy thing. Rabbis would not talk to women about theology, period. It was actually in the rabbinic law, it said, better the Torah to be burned than to be read to a woman. So Jesus is talking to a Samaritan, divorced five times woman, about theology. What's he doing? Why is he doing it? And what did he see? He obviously saw something that nobody else saw. And he did say, so you're living with the sixth guy now. And they say, if you read up on Jewish culture and tradition, she was probably living with the town drunk who didn't get married, but that's a place for her to sleep so she wouldn't be homeless. So she was getting beat up, most likely, just so she had somewhere to sleep. So he goes to her and he gives her a living water, a thirst, a salvation that she didn't see coming out of anywhere, a purpose and a value. And this five times divorced woman that nobody else would talk to became the first evangelist to win a city with the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody give Fotina a hand. So this happens and the disciples are there and they're like, Jesus, what are you doing? And he says to them, hey, don't say it's 4 months until your harvest can show up. Look into the hills. So they did. And all they saw were Samaritans. What do you mean, look into the hills, Jesus? All we see is something we don't want and we don't even like. He said, look into the hills, for they're white with harvest. I subject to you today that your harvest is probably closer than you think. It's coming in a form that you can't see. And Jesus showed up for you today, just like he showed up at the woman of the well to see something in you and for you that nobody else can see, but he wants to speak a word to you to lose life. Can somebody at Faith Church, all campuses, can you say amen, Florida? Can you say amen, Ferguson, Florida? Come on. So I first got my vision checked when, like, I was in fourth grade. I got glasses, and then I got contacts because glasses weren't cool. I totally looked like a unibrow librarian. So then I got colored contacts, I got married, and I developed a thing called GBC, which was these little bumps on the inside of my eyelids that hurt real bad because I was allergic to my own eye enzymes. So I got disposable lenses, then I got daily disposable lenses, and I was out and I didn't know what to do because my eyes were hurting. So I went to the best optometrist I could find. I was at Walmart. And I went into the optometrist at Walmart and I said, hey, I just need some new contacts. He's like, great, sit down, I'll check your vision. He's checking my vision, he's talking to me. And then he kind of pulls away, takes his glasses off and looks at me like I'm an idiot. Honey, who told you that you need glasses? Now, I was very confused because I've been wearing glasses since I was in fourth grade and I didn't understand why he was treating me like I was stupid. And I'm like, I've been wearing them since fourth grade, so everybody told me I need glasses, why? And then this look of amazement came over his face. He said, you have 20/20 vision. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it. I was praying for Jesus to heal my eyes, and I thought I was praying for Jesus to heal my eyes of GPC. I was praying for Jesus to heal my eyes of GPC, and Jesus said, you know what, if I'm in your eyes, why stop with GPC? Why don't we go ahead and just heal your whole eye and give you 20/20 vision? That's when I was 25 years old. That was 25 years ago, y'all. I can still see great. I just want to let you know Jesus heals. And he's here today to heal your vision so you can see like you've never seen before. Can I get a good amen? Amen. I want you to say out loud, say, the harvest is here. So the harvest is here. So point number one I want to give you tonight is you have to make your vision smaller. You got to make your vision smaller. You never hear that, do you? You hear dream, dream big, dream wide, dream, shoot for the stars, you might land on the moon. But I've done a lot of research when it comes to goal setting and when it comes to developing vision. And how many people around here have a job? Say me. And how many of you feel like, okay, you know what? At work, I'm probably at the top 20% of people in my office. I'm coming in on time. I'm showing in. I'm punching in. I'm working hard. I'm doing my job. Actually, I'm doing a lot of other people's job. I'm in the top 20%. Say me. Okay. The top 20% of the people usually have double the power, double the influence, and double the income of the other 80% of the people. And a lot of people, to get to the top 20%, they study a little bit harder, they learn a little bit more, they work a little bit longer, they put in a little bit more effort. You ever tried to make your body just a little bit better, so you started working out a little bit more, eating a little bit less, and until you went to Walmart, you got hungry and bought a frozen pizza while you got your eyes checked. Amen? But to get to the 10 times, the 10x, you see, the top 2% of people have 10 times the power, 10 times the influence, and many times 10 times the income of the top 20%. So Dr. Benjamin Hardy started doing all these studies, and he was like, why do these people make so much more? And here it is. They stopped focusing on everything and started focusing on one thing. Dr. Benjamin Hardy said this, the problem is that most people, to get to their best self, they just try a little bit harder. They change the 20% of what they do and they leave the 80% alone. He said, what they really need to do is change 80%, Jeff. Change 80% of what they do and get rid of most of that so that they can focus on the 2% of what they do. And when we can focus on the 2%. Okay, so how many of you around here have a dishwasher? Say me. Y'all aren't excited about dishwashers at all. No, look at let's try something else. How many of y'all have a trash can in the house? Say me. And you have to empty it. Say me. Well, how many of you are responsible and the other people in your house don't do it, so you do it for you and them? Say me. Okay, that was too loud. Your wife's sitting right there, buddy. You see, they would say a lot of us are irresponsibly responsible. We get so busy tending to everything that our time gets taken away from focusing on the things that we really want to focus on. Who's ever had their Bible study time stolen in the morning, their prayer time? Say me. I get it. How does that happen? Because let me ask you a question. Say yes or no. Is that one of the most important times you have all day, all campuses? Yes. So how do we lose that? Well, Isaiah 55 gives us an answer. It says, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Why do we spend our labor on what does not satisfy? Then he says, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in my richest fare. God has for us a plan. He has a promise. He has good things. But until we can clue in on what is God telling us to do specifically. And some people are like, well, I'd really like God's specific direction. Well, first of all, we have to follow his general direction. We got to get out of the 80 and into the 20. Can I get an amen? Amen. And once we get into the 20, and that's why you're here. That's why we have small groups. That's why you're serving. That's the people that are tithing. The people who are following his precepts, all we do is we give ear, and now he's saying, look up, I'm about to give you vision. And your vision is this. What is the thing that makes you different? How many of you have something about you that's different that you don't like? Say me. I know, right? Some people don't like the sound of their voice. Say me. Some people don't like the way they look in the mirror. Say me. Some people don't like their personality. Say me. So we have these things about us we don't like. And a lot of times when we go into a field, when we start a business, we become an entrepreneur, what we do is we start spending our time making ourselves the same as everybody else who's doing what we've done before. Yeah, that's right. That makes them just like that person. That makes us like everybody else. I was coming across the 270 bridge yesterday out of Illinois into Missouri, and I was with Pastor David, and he was telling me a story about a time the wheel fell off the car because they were taking tapes of his dad's services to a radio station. He's like, yeah, Joyce Meyer used to listen to Dad all the time. She was pretty new in ministry then. He's like, the big deal in town's name was June Bardot or something like that. I said, who? He's like, oh, yeah, man, if you were June Bardot, if you knew June Bardot, she was the deal. Joyce was just somebody new. Who's ever heard of Joyce Meyer? Say me. One thing I know about Joyce. She doesn't like the way her voice sounds. Doesn't like the way she looks. She doesn't come up here and try and be funny. She just comes up here and preaches the word, tells you straight, straighten up, back right, be nice to your husband. God bless you. Amen. June Bardot may have been the best. I don't know who she was, but she may have been the best at being like everybody else, but Joyce was the best at being Joyce. And the world was looking for a different voice, something that gave a new perspective, something that gave a new angle. And if you can figure out, come on, somebody, what's different about you? God made you special on purpose. So your number one thing is shrink your vision. Find out what's different about you and use that for Jesus. Use that in your business. Use that on your job. I submit to you today, the very thing that you think makes you awkward, I would say is the very thing that makes you special. Number two. Number one is shrink your vision. Number two is get exposed. Exposure changes everything. Back in the day, we had film, and you take film out of a camera, and when you would take film out of a camera, you put it in a solution, and the film wasn't any good until you put it into the solution, right? Well, that's how a brain is. A brain is no good until you stretch it. And you have to put something new in it. You have to expose it to new things. Everybody say, the harvest is here. And there's three types of exposure. One type of exposure is people. We have to get exposed to different people. And that's why I'm so excited that we stream. That's why I'm so excited we can be at one campus and go to multiple campuses. That's why I'm so excited that we have an online campus. That's why we have the Faith Church app. That's why we have YouTube. That's why we have the podcast. Because people need to be exposed to other people. So I remember before we had the Florida campus, we went and got invited to go on a boat. Well, this guy invited us to go on his boat. We didn't know where we were getting into. We went down to the ocean. We were looking around, and we were looking for like a fishing boat or something. And I walked up to this boat that was the size of this platform. And he said, come on aboard, y'all. I was like, husband? I call my husband husband sometimes. I don't know why. It's one of the weird things about me. It's my 2%. Leave me alone. I said, husband, this isn't a boat. This is a boat. Boat this big, you got to say all the letters. They had people on this boat to cook for us. They had people on this boat. I would put my dirty clothes on the floor. I would come back. They would be washed and folded and on the bed. I was like, how do I get these elves to come to my house? What in the world? And so we were talking to him, and he was a kingdom builder, a kingdom-minded man, and he told us what he paid for the boat. Well, this is when we were thinking about building our city. This is when we were thinking about doing Florida, and we were scared because we didn't have the money. And exposure to that person, we were able to walk away and say this. If God can give that guy the money to build a boat for his enjoyment, God can give us the money to build a house for people to worship God. If God can do this for him, God can do that for us. God is no respecter of persons. And I'm going to go a step further for you. If he can give a boat to that guy, he can give a boat to you. And it's not about the things, but it's about the heart's desire and the heart after God. Can I get a good amen in the house? Yes. People. Number two is places. You have to get exposed to places. And we have our creative teams around here. Every now and then we'll take the creative team somewhere to Branson to see some shows. We'll take them to New York City to see what to do, how to make church cool. We'll take them to a church conference to see how other people are doing church. It's hard to do something you've never seen. You got to get to a new place. You got to go on a vacation. Go on a vacation, a place where they do something great so that it inspires you. You got to get that planted in your heart so you're like, you know what? If they can do something like that on this remote island, I can build that kind of business in Florida. I can build that kind of business in St. Louis. I can do this thing. Everybody say places. Number three type of exposure is ideas. So it was the turn of the century, the 1900s. And this bishop was traveling, and he went to this Christian college, and he stayed at the home of the president. And the bishop was telling him, hey, man, it's been such an amazing time. Everything that could be built has been built. We're done. And the president of the college said, I don't think you're right, sir. I mean, there's still a lot that can happen. Matter of fact, I think people could fly. Bishop said, you're on blasphemy, man. I'm here to tell you right now, only angels can fly. And the college president said, no, sir, Bishop, I don't think you're right. The bishop left. That bishop's name was Milton Wright. His son's name were Orville and Wilbur. And they were the first two people to fly an airplane ever. I'm telling you right now, you gotta get around people who don't think like you think, who will stretch your mind, who do what we do here at Faith Church, like the leaders of your small group, and tell you, you can't stay here. There's too much left in you. God's got too much promise. He's got too much destiny. He's got too much purpose. He sees you for who you are. Build that business and build it big. You're not done yet, and it's not time to retire. It's time to refire. Come on. All the businesses aren't there. They need you to start yours. It's time to stand up, step in, and fulfill your call. Can I get a good amen? When we know our niche and we get exposure, we see more. Psalm 107, verse 37, it said, they sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. We have to expose ourselves to some seed and some planting in order to get to the harvest. Is everybody ready for harvest time? If you're ready for harvest time, all campuses, say yes. Yes. Say it's my time. Say it's harvest time. Say I'm ready. You ready for point number three? All right, point number three is you got to get your vision checked before you get your vision wrecked. You got to get your vision checked before you get your vision wrecked. You see, we see two ways. The Lord said, I want you to look up in the dictionary nearsighted. So I did the next best thing and looked up Google, and I brought it with me. And Google says, you're unable to see things clearly unless they are relatively close to the eyes. He said, a lot of people in my kingdom are nearsighted. They're unable to see the dream I have for them and that it's real. They're unable to see my promises and that they're real. They're unable to see the miracles that I want to do and that I'm able. They're unable to see that I'm a really good God and that I'm willing. They're unable to see that I'm all powerful and I want to use that power through them. They're unable to see that I'm a God who works by faith, and then they step out by faith and do things by faith that they've never done before. I really need them to see it while it's in the distance so they can pull it in. And then he said, look up farsighted. And as I was looking it up, he said, you don't have a vision problem, friends. He said, you got a depth perception problem. You think all this is so far away, but it's really close. Look unto the hills for the harvest. And so I looked up farsighted on Google, and it said, unable to see things clearly, especially if they're really close to the eyes. So he said, come on, I've got these people that they can't see the dream, and then I got these other people that all they will do is dream. They're dreaming and they're praying and they're dreaming and they're praying, but they won't get up and go to work. They won't get up and get the loan. They won't get up and write the business plan. They won't step into that leadership position. He's like, I'm opening all these doors and I want them to step through the door. I want to know, Faith Church, are we the kind of people who will step through an open door that God has given us? Amen. Get your vision checked before you get your vision wrecked. There's four kinds of vision. Yeah. Kind number one is foggy vision. Foggy vision is when you just can't even make anybody else see it. Like you can't get it out of here to there to have other people see it. So there was this admiral in the Navy, and he was driving this naval ship. And there was another ship coming right at him at high speed. So he said, here's the deal. He gets on the radio. He's like, excuse me, we're a naval ship. Need you to get out of the way. We're on course. Please make a hard right turn. They come back and said, we're sorry, sir. We're unable to. Please alter your course. He said, I'm sorry I didn't address myself. I'm Admiral Pratt. I need you to make a hard right turn. We're not changing our course. I'm a Navy ship. And it came back on the radio. I'm sorry, sir. We're unable to alter your course. You're going to need to alter your course. He said, I told you I'm Admiral Pratt. I told you with the Navy. You've got 30 seconds to change course. We're going to blast you out of our way. So the other voice came on and said, I'm sorry, sir. I really need you to alter your course. We're a lighthouse. We can't alter our way. Sometimes we're on a collision course, and we need somebody to clear up the fog. We need somebody to clear up our vision. That's why I'm so glad you're here today. Today, I believe God's clearing up your vision. Say, the harvest is here. Number two is fuzzy vision. They can see it, but they stop. You share your dream with somebody, and that's as far as it goes. You share your dream, but you don't get anywhere with it. You know, Helen Keller was asked, what would be worse than being born blind? She said, to have sight without vision. Are we looking on the inside to see what God wants to birth in us? And are we telling other people, are we believing God is big enough to get it on the outside? Or are we like people, you ever seen somebody whose arm isn't quite long enough to read their phone anymore? They got fuzzy vision. We don't want fuzzy vision in the spirit. We got foggy vision, fuzzy vision. Number three, we got focused vision. Focused vision is when you see it and you make people want to be it. You can see it, spray it, say it, and let them play it. You're on board. You're on board, and you got to get people on board. You want people with you because nobody's ever accomplished great things by themselves. By ourselves, we're nothing, but as a church, as a people, as a congregation, we're touching our city, we're distributing blankets, we're serving the homeless, we're feeding people, we're getting people saved, we're touching addicts. Come on, somebody, it's a good church. Foggy, fuzzy, focused, and finish line. Fourth kind of vision that you need to check before you wreck is the finish line vision, and the finish line vision is you can say it, other people can see it, and they want to come with you. You're talking about that shop you want to start. You're talking about that online business, and you're rallying people in your troops. I want you to say out loud, say, the harvest is here. Point number four, can you focus your vision? Every time we try to focus, and I know even in here, like, we have some kiddos in different campuses running around doing things. It's family fall bash. Stuff happens, and has this ever happened to you? Like, you get in your chair to read your Bible or pray, and all of a sudden, your brain is a lot like this.
Coming up.
Right? The second you sit down to write your business plan, the second you sit down to write your blog, start your book, whatever it is, your brain goes crazy because get this, the enemy is trying to distract you while God is trying to attract you. So trying to wrap our thought life in, because when we get focused, and this is why we can't focus on the 80, narrow it down to 20, yay, find that 2% thing that makes you different, unique, and special, because what you focus on tends to manifest. If you start focusing on building that business, you're going to build that business. You start focusing on building your dream team, you're going to build that dream team. You start focusing on getting people saved, you're going to get people saved. You start focusing on loving Jesus harder, you're going to love Jesus harder. And when you run to him, baby, I'm telling you that he will run to you. Pastor David and I, when we were dating, my sister was graduating from college. And my parents have a house out in Eureka, Missouri, and it was a tri-level with a basement, which means they had a room that was like about this size as a basement. And so we had family members and folding tables, and I was down there, uncles and cousins and aunts, and David and I were sitting there eating our homemade muscatelli and sandwich, kind of crowded in because everybody's around. And we were dating. And we were in love. And he was so cute. And so I'm looking in his eyes, and he's looking in my eyes. Wait, bring me this right here, bring me this right here. I'm looking in his eyes. He's looking in my eyes. And I think I ate my muscatelli, but I really didn't care. It was the only time in my life I was okay with dieting. And we were just in conversation. We were talking about things that were so important, I can't remember any of them. And I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes passed, we looked up, and everybody else was gone. When we went upstairs, it hadn't been 3 or 4 minutes, We had been down there over an hour and a half. The whole party was over. Everybody had gone home. And we didn't notice it because we were so focused. Y'all, just want to let you know I married that man. Boom, boom. What you focus on tends to manifest. Okay? Point number five, right? Are you okay with teaching like this? With handles like this? Number one, you have to narrow your vision, right? Make your vision smaller. Number two, you got to get exposed. Number three, you have to get your vision checked before you get your vision wrecked. Number four, can you focus your vision? Number five, you got to fight to keep your vision in sight. You got to be willing to fight for it. Say, the harvest is here. So here's the thing about a harvest. I don't know if y'all know Pastor Ree. She's the pastor at our Earth City campus. Yeah. Got the long blonde hair, looks like a Barbie, loves everybody. Y'all, she's single, she's not taking applications, but I'm taking them for her because I'm going to vet them. And here's something I bet you don't know about Pastor Ree. Every fall, she takes off a weekend at church, but do you know why? Because her daddy and her brother are farmers. Now, they can plant the fields without her help. Putting the seed in, that's not that big a deal. They can handle putting the seed in. But when it comes to harvest time, here's where a lot of Christians don't know how to operate. We have focus for the vision because, right, coming up with vision is fun, but fulfilling the vision is work. We sow a seed, but you can't sow a seed and walk away. You got to believe God over that seed. You got to come back and purposely put the sickle in and pull that harvest in the name of Jesus. If you're not speaking to your seed, that's why we come up here and we don't just pass the buckets or do something like that. No, we pray over that. We speak to that seed. We speak to that harvest. Because bringing in the harvest is work. Everybody say work. Work. Everybody work, 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 work. Right, Rihanna? Because you plant it, you grow it, you got to make a plan for it, you got to talk about it, and then you got to make a plan to pick it. Doing the harvest is work, and you got to be willing to fight for it. I was watching this little blessed girl on TikTok. She was so cute. There was this little horse, and you could turn that audio down. She was trying to get up on this horse, and it was so adorable. She was not giving up, and it made me think of Oprah Winfrey. I know she doesn't look anything like Oprah, does she? But I saw Oprah, who seemed so nice, so congenial, so sweet, so happy. And when somebody said, Oprah, what's the key to your success? She said one sentence. I get up and I fight every single day. Are you willing to get up and fight for your vision every day? Are you willing to get up and pull in the harvest every day? Are you willing to get up and speak to your seed every single day? Are you willing to think about that new business every single day? Because in Matthew 9:37, he said, hey, it's not a harvest problem. The harvest is plenty. There's plenty of money. There's plenty of jobs. There's plenty of opportunity. There's plenty of need. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers. But the laborers are few. Turn to your neighbor and say, work, 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 work. Turn to your other neighbor and say, the harvest is here. I got two more points. You want them both? Are you sure? Okay, we're almost wrapped up here. Number six, how to get superhero vision. How do you get superhero vision? When you have your idea, when you've prayed about it, West Palm Beach, and the Lord speaks to you something, when you have that idea, Royal Palm, and you start writing it down, what you do is you take that and you pray over it, and then you give it to somebody else. You give it away and let somebody refine it. Everybody say refine it. You take that business plan, you take that idea, you take that prayer, you take that vision from God, and you give it to them and you say, hey, can I ask you a favor? Would you spend an hour on this? And tell me what you think of it. Tell me how to make it better. Tell me what you would do to open doors. Tell me what you would do to market it. Tell me how you would pray over it. Ask them to make it better. Now give it to somebody who believes in you, amen? Don't give it to your biggest critic, amen? If your mama ain't never liked nothing you did or any dream you ever had, don't give it to your mama. Okay? Give it to that person who believes in you. Ask them to refine it. And then when they give you the feedback, take it. Everybody say refine it. Refine. And then superhero vision. Now you can see it clearer. Now you can see it better. Now you can see it from someone else's perspective. And then you do number two. You refine it and then you define it. You take what they have given you, distilled down, and you spend an hour with it. God, I had this dream. God, I saw this thing. God, I had this prompting. God, I think it's this business. God, I think it's this idea. God, I think it's this website. God, I think it's this product. God, I think it's this invention. God, I think we moved to Florida. God, I think spend 1 hour with somebody else, 1 hour with yourself. The clearer the vision, the less distraction, and the less hesitation. I want you to write this down. You will never achieve what you can't conceive. We got to be able to see it. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, the harvest is here. Are you guys okay with the teaching today instead of a preaching? Okay, this is number 7. And we're over on time, so I'm going to wrap this up quick. Number 7 is share your vision to ensure your victory. I love seeing all the phones out taking pictures of the slides. And I'll be happy. You know, if you want to, I'll go ahead and blog about this, and I'll post all this on my blog here next week if you want me to. Yes, well, okay, yes, please, so we'll do that. Vision always requires other people to fulfill it. So let me ask you, who's called to help you? And then let me make sure that you've planted the seeds of helping somebody else. If you want somebody to serve your vision, your idea, your company, be sure you've done it for somebody else. Be sure you've been serving a church. Be sure you've been serving Jesus. Have that seed in the ground and then put a demand on that seed. And say, God, I have been showing up in the portico every week for 3 years. I have been faithful in your house with my time, my talent, my treasure. So now I am planting my business, and I know the seed I have in the ground of my time and attention. So God, I'm asking you, send the people to help give time and attention to the vision that you've dropped in my heart. And then when they come, this is key. Do not miss this. Don't go spouting off about your vision, your vision, your vision, your vision, your vision. Go spouting off on what we could do, what we could do, what we could do, what we could do. If somebody's working for your vision, eventually they'll quit. But if they can fulfill their vision inside of your vision, if they can do what they were called to do inside of what God has called you to do, if God could call you to work together instead of separately, you can not just 2 times your impact, you can 10 times your impact. But you can't get it by yourself. And as you're praying about these new ideas, every new season requires a new seed. If you plant corn in the spring, you're going to get corn in the fall. But next spring, we plant corn again. So as you're dreaming these things up, make sure you're sowing. You're sowing time and you're serving. Make sure you're sowing and you're tithing and you're giving. And make sure you have something to put a demand on, because I'm here to tell you, harvest is work, but it is fruitful. John 4:35, what we started with is what I'm going to end with. Do not say, it's 4 months until I start that business. Do not say, it's 4 months until I apply for that job. Do not say it's 4 months until I step into that volunteer position at church. Do not say it's 4 months until I say yes to the opportunity that's been knocking on my door. Don't say 4 months until I apply for the loan to do the thing I know I was supposed to do. Say not it's 4 months until we get the house ready to sell because we know where we're supposed to go. Say not it's 4 months until harvest just because it looks a little different. It looks like a Samaritan. And God, I thought I wanted to open a boat store, but you keep putting me over here in cybersecurity, and I know I'm really good at it. I just didn't know it was my thing. You need to get it out there to somebody, refine it, pray over it, define it, and step into it. I'm here to tell you, God sent me today because there's stuff on the inside of you. He wants to get on the outside of you, and I came to harvest that dream and pull it out and pull it out and pull it out. So at every campus, if you believe that there is a dream, a vision, something on the inside of your heart that God wants to pull out of your heart, would you stand with me on all campuses? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it's so strong. Y'all, there's so much that is supposed to be birthed out of this, but the harvest isn't going to pick itself. The harvest isn't going to pick itself. We need to do it. So if you're going to commit to stepping in, to getting that vision refining it down, getting some exposure, getting it checked so you don't get it wrecked, running by some other people so you get superhero vision and inviting other people to come along. I want you to raise your right hand. Father God, I pray for each and every person who's got their right hand to heaven saying, pick me, God. And I think it's so ironic, God, because we're asking to be picked, but God, you already did. That's why they're here. There's no coincidence. There's divine connection. So you connected us intentionally because, God, you're a dreamer. You a mirror in your heart. You have these plans in your heart, and you're trying to transplant them into your people. And here we are, God, with our hands towards heaven saying, send it, Lord. Send help. Send courage. Send ideas. Send inventions. I pray for resources to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God, we are sowing seed, and I speak to the harvest right now and say, harvest, you get over here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today?